Welcome back to 15 Minutes with Frank. I am Frank, and I'm so glad you're here to join us today. I have had such a good week. Hopefully you had a good restful Thanksgiving break. I know I didn't do an episode last week, but that's because I was trying to rest and enjoy my time not having to do student ministry last week. But we are back, and hopefully you had a good restful break. And let's just dive into it. Let's talk about student ministry and what I did last service. So we're starting off a new series, and it's a Christmas series. And so when we did that, the week before, we transformed our youth room with Christmas lights and Christmas trees that we had, like, we as a student ministry has purchased that we have owned last year, so that every year we have our own Christmas decorations that we don't have to steal from other ministries. And I call up a couple small groups within our student ministry to decorate the youth room and to make sure it's very Christmassy in here. And so we have a Christmas playlist that we're using. I'll put the link either in the show notes or on the blog and maybe in the description of the YouTube video. But there's a Youthmen Christmas playlist that was rocking the whole time. Christmas lights were on, and everyone was kind of there in a very festive mood. And we started a new series called Christmas Nightmares that I'll talk about in a second. So after all the kids came in and we did our little countdown video, all the students were seeing, I showed two very quick, funny videos. I don't know if this was one of my, I think this was one of my DYM perks. I don't think this was a thing that was actually in the story yet, but there's this thing called Eternal Wisdom by Lawrence Bragg, and it's just like these very short 30-second, 40-second clips of a guy talking about this kind of really silly Christmas wisdom or Christmas thoughts that are, like, actually very, very dumb, but sort of hilarious. I was a little nervous that it wasn't going to land because it was kind of like, it was funny, but I didn't know if it was going to be that funny, but all my kids were laughing. They thought it was really, really funny and goofy and silly, and so there's, in this like package and this download that I got, there were six videos. I'm showing two videos every single week for the next 3 weeks, and so I showed video one and two, and they loved it. I don't know if I can explain it. I think if you go to Download Youth Ministry and search for Eternal Wisdom, they had like a collection of videos from last year, it's silly, it's funny, and it's like a minute total if you show two videos, and so it was a good intro to the night. And so we decided to kind of switch things around. Typically we have our announcements at this point, but I decided to move that later, and I'll explain why in a second. But what we decided to do is go straight into our games, and so we had a lot of fun with the game. First game we played was a game called What Happens Next, and that was another Download Youth Ministry membership perk. And basically, you've probably seen videos like this before. There's tons of games like this where they show some kind of viral YouTube video of like a fail video, right? And they cut it right before the fail, and you have to guess what happens next. You know, I think there's a game called like Landed or Failed. I forgot what it was called, but basically, whether these like extreme sports people land the trick they're doing or if they just fall on their face. It's kind of like that, except they're more of like traditional fail videos that you see on YouTube. And so there's like eight of them, and it was really, really well done where you know, it shows right before the fail, and then it cuts, and you have option A and option B. Did this fail happen, or did this fail happen? And so we called two students in the front, and we had them kind of duke it out, like trying to guess what happened next, and it was really, really funny. When that comes out, you should get it. It's a super fun, simple game that will guarantee your kids will laugh at some of the consequences that happened. The next game we played was called Christmas Movie Pictionary. And so there's two ways to do this. We happen to have a whiteboard that got left in our youth room this past week. And so I was like, let's use this to play Pictionary. But another way we've done this is we have an iPad. We get an iPad, and there's tons of drawing apps that you can find in the App Store. If you find any kind of drawing app in the App Store, if you have an Apple TV that's connected to your projector or the TV display or whatever, you can do like Pictionary on the iPad, and they can just use their finger to draw whatever thing they're doing. But we had a whiteboard, and that was a lot quicker and simpler, and not having to worry about connectivity issues. So I had a whiteboard, and the kids had to draw these different Christmas movies, and that was actually pretty hard because some of these, like Home Alone or The Night Before Christmas or The Grinch Stole Christmas, like those are kind of complicated to just draw without using any words. So the kids like loved it. They were yelling, they were cheering. It was guys versus girls, and it was a blast. After both of those games, we got the two losers from each game, and we didn't tell them they were losers. We said the two non-winners of each game. And then they had to duke it out with this the brand new game that just came out. You've probably seen it all over the youth ministry Facebook groups, and it's on Amazon. that pie face showdown where basically there's the old pie face game where like you had to like click it like this and you didn't know how many clicks it would take for the pie hand to hit you in the face. Well, this one, it's very similar except it's multiplayer, right? And you have two faces in the thing and you have to pound the button, and the person that pounds the button faster than the other person, the hand slowly moves left and right and then it will hit the other person in the face. And it was so fun. I got a picture of the student who realized at the very last minute they were going to be doing this because they lost, and her face was like Michaela Maroney when she won silver in the Olympics. She was so disappointed and unimpressed. It was hilarious, and the kids love it. Whenever you get whipped cream in people's faces, kids love it. It's a guaranteed win. I think the thing was like $13 on Amazon. It wasn't very expensive. Listen, if you ever have a game where there's two clear losers or two clear non-winners, that is a fun way to kind of say who is the loser of that of the losers in there. And I mean, the kids thought it was so funny. Listen, these type of little knick-knack toys that, like, you know, can do for like, you know, 3 minutes where they could see who's gonna get a pie in the face, those are always huge wins. And kids get their phone out, they want to Snapchat it, they get so excited. Get that, I think it's called like Pie Face Showdown. If I remember, I'll put the link in the description or in the show notes. It's a win. So what I decided to do this time is, instead of having an announcement so early, I wanted to figure out a way to transition from the game to worship. And so one thing we talked about, if you kept up with this podcast, is I said I was going to start showing videos, like spoken word videos and things like that. One thing we found really quickly is that the kids weren't responding very well to spoken word videos. They were just kind of like, they're a little long, they're a little too deep, especially right after a game. So with everything with youth ministry, you try, and if it fails, you cut it and you look for something else. You try to innovate, you try to keep moving. And so after a couple of weeks of seeing that the kids weren't really responsive to these spoken word videos, I decided, let's switch things up. And so we changed the philosophy that we did with announcements and tried to make announcements more than what it has been. So typically we have this one female leader who has always done announcements for like the past 6 months. She's always done it. And she's great and she kills it and she's awesome. But one thing we want to do is try to make sure that all the students are well aware of every single leader. And so every single week, what we decided is we're going to try to mimic what our church does. And in our church, we have this thing called a service host. And a service host is when typically an elder or one of the pastors that aren't preaching that day comes on stage and they do an announcement and kind of like a formal greeting to the church. And then at the end of the service, they come back up and do a benediction. And so I've done it a couple of times in big service. And so I thought, how can we mimic that here in the youth group? And so what I decided with my program director is we're going to have every single week a different leader do this role. They're going to come up, they're going to do the announcements, they're going to kind of greet everyone, and then at the end of my message, they're going to do a little benediction where they're going to read a verse, they're going to pray, and they're going to dismiss the students. I think eventually, after we kind of go through all the leaders, I would love to kind of raise up a couple like special students, like maybe upperclassmen, to do that role as well. And so I'm encouraging our leaders to kind of start figuring out which students could use that kind of next bump up where eventually they could be a service host or a fuse host is what we call them in our student ministry. And so kind of like a kind of more of an intentional way of doing announcements, all the while everyone becoming very aware of all the leaders in our student ministry. And so then that's also a good transition from the high energy games into our worship time, which is a little bit more reflective and worshipful, I guess. So then we did worship and we did Marvelous Light, Good, Good Father, and Jesus, We Love You by Bethel. And so hopefully next week, in the next 2 weeks, we're going to do mostly Christmas songs. But this was a really good time of worship because we just kind of changed our sound system. We're able now to use more microphones and plug in more equipment, where before we were using one microphone and a bunch of amps. Now we're able to kind of plug in more stuff. And we were able to have one of our girls who played the keyboard can sing now, and that was pretty awesome. Then we went into my message. And so there is a website called Media Pass. And Media Pass is kind of like all these other, you know, like these resource websites where they give you opportunities to download different resources. And what I like about Media Pass, and this isn't a sponsored video or a sponsored podcast, they're not paying me anything. But again, if Media Pass is listening, I would love, you know, you to sponsor something here. That'd be amazing. But Media Pass, what's unique about them is they have an annual subscription or a monthly subscription where you can download as much as you want from their website for a monthly price or an annual premium type of thing. And one thing that's interesting about MediaPass that I kind of like over all the other resource sites, and obviously every resource site, YouthMint, DYM, MediaPass, everything, everyone has their pros and their cons. But one thing I think is unique about MediaPass, or is that called MediaPass? I'm sorry, MinistryPass. I think I've been saying they're never going to sponsor me now because I keep saying their name wrong. MinistryPass is that they give you a ton of graphic resources like images, Facebook, Instagram, Photoshop files, even like videos, like countdown videos and intro bumper videos, stuff like that. But when it comes to their sermons, like their actual messages, they don't give you a word-for-word manuscript. They kind of give you like the overall scope and sequence of the message, and they also give you kind of like 5 bullet points that maybe you could touch in the message along with like the main idea in a verse. And what I love about that is you're not copying someone else's sermon. You're getting kind of like a bare bones framework of a message. And then the responsibility to actually write the message is on you. And I really, really respect that. I appreciate that. And so when I was doing my series this year, I was like, okay, I know I'm gonna do a Christmas or an Advent series. And I was looking at seeing what I was gonna do and trying to get some ideas of what other churches have done. I saw that they had this thing called Christmas Nightmares. I was like, I want to check this out. And the fact that they have all this graphic package already given to me, I said, let's do it. I love the it'll save me time to not edit stuff on Photoshop or After Effects for hours. I could just use their stuff and basically still completely write my own sermon. And so my message this past Sunday night was basically focusing on Mary and how on paper this teenage girl was living her nightmare. She's about to marry a man she doesn't really know, and she just found out an angel told her that she's pregnant. And what do you do 2,000 years ago when you're pregnant and you're at the risk now of the man you're betrothed with could leave you, your parents and your family could deny you, and all your friends are going to betray you, like the fear that she had. And in the midst of it all, she trusts God in spite of it all. It was a fun night. It was an encouraging night for me to kind of talk about that. It was kind of, in spite of what I went through this past week, which I was kind of living like a nightmare in terms of my finances and my car breaking down, I'm almost having to put my dog down. As I was preparing my message, it was very timely that I remember that even though my circumstances don't change, I'm still kind of a little bit afraid and my questions aren't answered, I can still trust God in the midst of it all. Mary still trusted God, and we can too. Then we had small group. And overall, the response from my leaders that was a really, really good time. What I want to do for the rest of this time in our 15-minute podcast is talk about leadership and volunteer leaders specifically. I don't know about you, but like I'm in a context where I'm the only paid staff in my student ministry, and I think that's probably true for most youth ministries across this country, if you're even paid. I know a lot of people most people are either Bible vocational or volunteer. So one thing I think about, I remember when I first got here, I was thinking about, man, I have so much work. I don't know how I'm going to do it all. And I was like talking to my executive pastor. I said, I think like maybe like in 6 months to a year, I might need an assistant. And he looked at me and he kind of laughed at me. and to his credit, like he's a youth ministry vet. He knows what he's talking about. And he kind of said, instead of trying to look at finding a person to hire, to pay to do stuff, equip your volunteers to do the work of the ministry. And then through that, one of the biggest themes that our church at Epicos, we've been trying to think through over the past year is volunteers. How can we make volunteer work meaningful and something that people look forward to and actually grows them in their walk with Christ? And so one thing I created is kind of like an organization chart in my student ministry to not only give our volunteers meaningful work, but also give them something to strive for, to look up to. So that way, when a new person walks in, they don't have the same position as someone who's been there for like 5 years. Something that there is some kind of, like you've worked here, you've been here for years, you've invested in these kids, and so your position in the student ministry is going to be reflective in the effort and the time and the skills that you have within the student ministry. And so as opposed to trying to hire an assistant to do, you know, a bunch of work for me, I'm going to take that assistant role that I would love to have and pay for, break it down and dice it up into 12 different roles and distribute that amongst my volunteer leaders. And basically what we're doing is calling our volunteers to more. Some volunteers have a bit greater capacity than others, but everyone can do more than just be a warm body in the room. And so very quickly, I want to kind of give you an overview of these different positions. And then on the website, you can kind of see an organization chart to kind of see what that looks like. So first there's me that kind of oversees everything. Then right below me, there's this thing, a person called a program director. The program director kind of makes sure the service goes on time, makes sure that all the elements that are in place. And so the worship leader knows what songs they're doing and that all those songs are in pro presenter. The snacks are in place. Like basically overseeing all the details so I don't have to think about the details. Their job is to worry about the details. My job is to make sure the kids are great. Then after that, we have kind of like to the side to them, kind of side maybe slightly lower than them, are what we call a guys director and a girls director. And their role is to oversee all the small group leaders to make sure that the leaders have the kids in their small group, that every kid has a small group leader, and all the small group leaders have everything they need. And on top of that, their role is to plan gender-specific events. So, like, if there wants to be a girl sleepover, the girls director organizes that, plans that, and gets the other girl leaders involved to plan that girl sleepover. If they want to do a dude's paintball and wings night, that guy gets with all the guy leaders, plans it, comes to me, tells me, hey, this is what we want to do. This is how much it costs. And I tell him, knock off a ton of money, and then we'll plan it. And that kind of like the role we're giving to them is kind of like the role I've been doing up till now, but now they have more ownership of it. They also are doing contact work with the volunteer leaders and also making sure that kids don't fall through the cracks. If there's a kid that hasn't been around for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, we make sure that their small group leader knows, so that way that small group leader can contact that kid and say, hey, we miss you. Then below that, we have a bunch of different very specific places. So we have an audio-video person that their job is to make sure the audio-video is good. We have a person whose job is just for the games. They plan the games. They work with me to come up with games, and I help resource them with games. We have a person who does cleanup. We have a person who does the snacks. We have Just a bunch of other small positions that seem like very small details. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, playing a game, I can go on Google, type in youth ministry games, or go on Facebook and say, hey, what games you guys are doing, and find it pretty quickly and plan it all within an hour. But if I have someone else who says, hey, I'm willing to go to the websites to find some PowerPoint games, I'm willing to go on websites to come up with a fun physical game, they do that, and all I have to do is maybe make a graphic for them at the most, it's a win for me. It's one less thing off my plate. And then below that, and a lot of these people are doing both of these, almost every single person is doing this too, is a small group leader. Everyone is a small group leader, but then there's some small group leaders who have those other roles, like the games and the snacks director and whatever, and there's some people who are small group directors, small group leaders, as well as like the girls director and the guys director. And so every entry-level person, every person that comes in for the very first time to be a volunteer, they're a small group leader assistant. So they're going to be paired up with a veteran that we have that's been here for at least probably like a year, and they co-lead a small group. And they do that for a while until they're prepared to lead a small group by themselves, and then eventually they will have a co-leader to help them. So if this didn't make sense, I'm going to put an organization chart that you can see that's going to be in the show notes and things like that. But I think this has been a very helpful tool to kind of, one, kind of help take the load off of me and put it on the volunteers so they can do the work, as well as kind of give leaders something to look forward to. Because if someone, like I said, is new coming in and they're the same position as someone who's been here for 3 years, there's no incentive for them to stay and to grow. But if there's someone that says, like, hey, I've been here for 3 years, I've been investing in student ministry, and I'm a little bit of a veteran volunteer, like, they will have more responsibility because they have the capacity for the responsibility. They can train up people below them. And then when this person says, hey, I feel like I'm being called to another ministry, or I think my time in student ministry is over, we have people down here who have been in the trenches working and growing to soon take that position. And through all this, we might be adding new positions. I know I'm going to be adding some more behind-the-scenes positions, like volunteer training for like those vets who've been here for like 5 or 6 years. I have a couple of teachers that could probably teach other volunteers about classroom management and things like that. All this stuff is in the works, but all this to say, there should be a scope and sequence and something that your leaders are looking forward to as they serve in your student ministry. What are you doing? Do you have any kind of philosophy, or is all your leaders who come in kind of the same thing, just kind of like warm bodies that maybe also lead small groups? How does that work? What kind of responsibilities do you give them outside of just leading a small group? I would love to hear that. Hey, we've gone way over 15 minutes, but we had a lot of good discussion. Love to hear from you. Please like, subscribe, do all that stuff. Share this with a friend. Tell this to all the people in youth ministry. Guys, I love you. God bless you. I'll see you next week. I'm